Praise God. I'm going to take a little different tack this morning because the Holy Spirit wishes me to go in a different direction to address current times and for how you can deal with it, how you can get through this present evil age. We are in a present evil age. It's been that way for a long time. It was that way when the early disciples were on the face of the earth, when the Apostle Paul was teaching. He said that God delivers us from this present evil age. Sometimes it's translated in the Bible as world, but the truth of the matter is it's a whole age that takes place. And how are we going to successfully deal with it? I want to make a couple of statements. The United States of America is experiencing a moral, ethical rot and decay affecting all phases of society. Our borders are no longer protected. Aliens are coming across, streaming across. Every imaginable type of person, terrorists, rapists, smugglers. Whole prisons have been opened up and let out so that they can come to this country. That's just one thing. Children are being smuggled and trafficked. Our laws are not being obeyed. This past week, in a city in the far west, on two separate nights, 100 people looted stores, emptied them completely. 100 people at a time. The next day, another 50 did it. Laws are ignored. Justice is not served. Society is afraid. People are trying to teach us something different about who we are as males and females and what marriage is all about. They're looking to get to your children and change them for no apparent reason than that they want to do that. I could go on. Some may wish to ignore these conditions that are existing right now, but these conditions will not ignore you. They are creeping throughout this nation. The United States of America is the most significant natural country on the face of the earth. Its influence around the world is far-reaching, and without question, it has been the dominant force to influence all nations for better. And that's because of the Christian influence in the nation. The influence of Christ in the nation is a question right now. We are here to affect this world, not for this world to affect us. We are in it, but we are not of it, meaning we do not draw out of it our life, our style, our influence, our thinking, our philosophy, our morals. We do just the reverse. While we're here, we influence it. But we must know how to stand in this day. Paul told the church in Ephesians, you have to know how to stand in this evil day. Standing is resisting what is taking place in this nation, and not just resisting it. God knows these things. And so he's prepared for us in the Word of God guidance, directions, healings, powers. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." They are alive. If we will come to accept the reality of that, you'll see the effect of God's words. So I want to start this morning by taking you to Psalm 107. 107 and verse 20. Just one short, powerful word. He says this. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Yeah. He sent his word and healed us. Now, of course, Jesus is the living word, and through the power of Christ in his atoning work at the cross, he brought healing to us in the new covenant. This is the most significant element of healing through Jesus Christ, and trusting in his taking away our sins and releasing the power to heal in the body of Christ through different sources and methods. But you can also be healed directly by the word of God. That's what it says right here. What are the causes, it says here, that he delivered us from our destructions? What are the causes of our destructions? And I'll get to the meaning of destruction in just a bit. And here, if he's going to heal us, that means that there's a sickness of some type that exists in the body, some brokenness, something that is not functioning well, a disorder, a disease, etc. Do you follow that? He's including all types of sicknesses. And the word there for healed is the Hebrew word rapha. It takes its name. The name is derived from the sound of sewing needle going through material. And the meaning behind it is to draw us together, to heal, to mend, to restore, to repair, and to cure. You follow? Do you follow this? Rapha, he wants to do all of that to us through his word. Now, how do we end up needing healing? And I cannot know of anybody who's never needed a healing in all my life. I don't know that there's ever been anybody who didn't know healing. What are the causes behind the infirmities, the breakdowns that affect us? Number one, some of them are heredity. We come into this world with a propensity, a proclivity to break down in certain areas. That's why doctors ask questions about our family history, because it helps them understand that propensity to fall to a particular disease. So we're born that way. Secondly, there's the devil. In Luke 13, Jesus said, I'm sorry, I didn't give you that scripture, but you can just follow along. Jesus said, ought not this woman to be healed, whom Satan has bound all these many years? She had to be loosed from her infirmity, because Satan is a primary reason people get sick. He wants to make you sick. Many diseases are caused by satanic influences upon our lives and by demons, which we can cast out. There are many demons of sickness that Andre and I have cast out over the years. And people have been hit, including cancers. It says in Acts 10, 38, 39, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the devil is behind many of the infirmities that we feel through his powers of suggestion, through manipulations, who knows? But thank God we have power over him. And a third way that we get ourselves in situations where we need healing, where we're infirm, is because of our own behavior. We do bad things, we do wrong things, we create for ourselves pits where we fall into them. I've done it, you've done it. Isn't that true? Yeah. Sometimes it's because of the things that we have said, the way we have been snared by our own words. It's exactly what's in the bulletin this morning. Our thoughts are before the Lord. He sees them and hears them and knows them. That's why we were told in Proverbs 4 that you have to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We produce sometimes the things that occur to us at our own peril and our own destruction. But the word of God here says it delivers us, that he sent his word to deliver us, and that really means to rescue us from these things, whether it be hereditary issues that we are suffering from, or the devil that has harassed us, or because of the things that we have done personally that brought about our own problems. And these things are called destructions. Self-inflicted other times, sometimes, and sometimes not self-inflicted, but situations that are here in the world that are destructive. Okay, let me give you an example. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at two verses, verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is a healing scripture. You follow that? And there's a prescription. Let's call it the doctor of heaven's prescription for us. He says, first of all, that pride and arrogance in our own eyes creates difficulty for us, because when we become proud and arrogant, we are unteachable. And God cannot guide us or direct us much because we know it all. So do not be proud in your own eyes. Look, after over almost 55 years of being a Christian and studying the Bible, I am fully aware of how much depth there is in this word that is still to be mined. You know what I mean? Dug out and experienced. It's amazing how much there is to it. I just praise God for it. Second thing, this is the prescription of God. To live in the fear of God is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean, and it will make you clean. There's a holiness about the fear of God, a reverence that releases us from the wrong behaviors and thoughts and attitudes. Third, depart from evil. So I looked at that and I said, now, how does that interpret? Help me, Holy Spirit, understand what you mean. Two things I can say about this. Number one, either we create evil for ourselves, or evil exists around us. In either case, we are to leave it. So what is this evil? Evil, this word means calamity, distress, harm, misery, sorrow, moral dereliction, maliciousness, lewdness, wickedness. It's kind of like describing society today. Am I right? Come on, am I? That's what is around us. And what is around us captures us easily when we're not careful. Meaning this, we are drawn into these situations. We think about them, we see them. Once you see something, it's hard to unsee it. Right? Once you hear it, it's hard to forget it. And what is going on can be so frustrating, so angering, so painful to us to see all this decay and rot of a nation. Am I right or am I wrong? Is that happening around us or is it not? Yes, it is. And it's the devil's plan and other wicked rulers of the world. And so it grabs us. Now here's the psychological element of it. It creates in you and I a stress, a frustration, and anger. Our bodies, our minds get drawn in and it begins to take our energies. I'm going to tell you the honest situation. When God began to show this to me, mainly because physically we can't do anything about it. We only observe it or hear about it. And we have to learn how to pray more, but we'll get to that. And so when I began to understand this, I did an experiment with the Holy Spirit. I said, your word tells me I have to depart from this. How do I depart? God, show me. He said, you turn off your responses to it in the natural realm. Amen. And you begin to pray for it and release yourself. Move away from it. And when I did that, I felt a tremendous release out of my own soul. It draws energy out of you. It's hard on your body, on your mind, on your emotions. You can feel the effect of it. And when I distanced myself by that, I said, Lord, I'm going to separate myself from what's going on and begin to not let it affect me, but me affect it through prayer. Now, here's the promise. There's a cure for us. The cure comes, it says here, be health to your navel. Well, the Hebrew word navel there is a word that describes the center core of your strength, of your person. It would be like to include your immune system, all that works to keep you whole. And so the doctor Jesus is saying to us through his word that I will cure and heal and strengthen your immune system when you don't any longer get embroiled, entangled in that situation by letting it affect you, but you affect it. And the only way you can affect it is by releasing that situation in the power of prayer. God knows everything that's going on. And he is going to rectify that situation as long as we begin to pray. Otherwise, we will get caught in it. This world will drag you down with worry and fear and dread and hopelessness. And those things make you sick. Stress makes you sick. It's probably the number one cause of heart failures and diabetes and other things. Stress is awful. But you can unstress through the power of prayer. So one, it's going to affect your core system. Two, this is amazing here. This is long before we had the kind of science of today. God released truth into his people about our bodies. He said, it's going to do something to our marrow. The marrow of our bones is going to be affected. It will be moistened. There's a tissue inside of your bones called marrow. It's a soft, moist tissue. It makes red and white blood cells. It's the cause of healthy blood. It courses through our lives. When the marrow of our bones is not functioning well, our blood count shows it. We get sick, we get anemic, we get diseases. Because your cells, your blood cells, carry life in them. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So the Lord is saying, if you can get yourself out of that, trust me, pray, I'm going to heal you. I'll strengthen your immune system. I will help develop the marrow that in your bones, and I will strengthen your whole skeletal structure. Wow. Just one scripture. Just one powerful thing. Now I'm going to give you a little insight. I'm not telling you that I have 100% perfect health. But I can tell you that incrementally, God is healing me. For the last several years, when I have been getting my annual checkups, a doctor has said to me, you're anemic. There's something going on in your blood. Told me that. I haven't felt anemic, but according to their tests, I was somewhat anemic. I applied this scripture to myself and I said, God, I'm going to release myself from being embroiled and tangled with these affairs and recognize that you're in control, you're the God of all, and that I can appeal to you and you will see this and bring about changes, not just directly through you, but even through me, but I trust you and I'm free of that. I was at the doctor's last week, had a blood test, and he's going through my numbers because they all work with numbers. And he said, oh, your blood looks fine. Amen. The anemia part. Says, you're good. He just went right by it. So God gave me a personal witness that this is true. So I could tell you, if it'll work for me, it'll work for you. That's why I'm telling you this. I'm not saying I'm 100% whole, but I'm saying that God does these miracle things because his word is truth, it's power, it's life, it's spirit, and God knows us. He knows our frame. Hallelujah. That's enough for you to eat on. Let me tell you something. If you begin to extract yourself from the way this world is right now, like Jesus said, you're in it, but not of it. We're swimming in this water, but we're not part of that. We can affect that. We're here to affect it. Bear with me. I'm going to pour my heart out. We have got to get rid of the pessimism, the negativism, the escapism, the failureism that is in the church. The enemy does not win. Amen. We do not run from him and look for Jesus to pull us out. We're here to succeed. We're here to expand the kingdom of God until he finally will come back when all of his enemies are under his feet. And I have much to teach you on this, but you're not ready to hear it all. Nor am I ready to teach it all. But I can tell you this, my Christianity is far more positive than pessimistic.
That's right.
I will not succumb to it.
Amen.
I do not live by saying, well, the world is getting worse. I say, more glory to God, because he will be victorious through us in it. I cannot yield that up. I will not yield that up, and I will not let you succumb to a failure attitude about what is going to take place in the future. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he works his lordship through us. Hallelujah. The whole world has been affected by Jesus Christ. No other person, no other religion has ever come close to what Jesus Christ has done. And he has extended his kingdom through kings and Caesars and princes and rulers and evil people throughout history, and he is still advancing. And he will continue to do so. As long as he has people like you and I who will not give up, but trust thoroughly and absolutely in him to overcome. We need to pray for revival. God does not want us to be influenced by the world. If he does not want us to be influenced by the world, then we have to come to understand that he made us salt and light to influence the world. Well, you say, how many people are we here? We're not that big. How much can we do? Well, here's the thing about salt. Salt is made up of grains. And every one of us is a grain of salt. And what about light? We're not that much. Light is made up of rays, beams, and every one of you is a ray and a beam. And that's how it works, beloved. Do you understand? You can't wait for there to be a mass of people where we can feel really big and strong, like, oh, look at us. We're multitudes now. We're marching. No, it's the individual grains and the individual beams that begin to make the difference. And if you don't believe that, you will never make a difference. You will not give yourself over to the purposes of God. You will cower in the presence of evil, and God doesn't want that. We overcome evil with good, the goodness of God in us. Secondly, why would he tell us to go into all the world and make disciples? Really? Disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, every type of people and person, to cover the whole world with it. There are places in this world that have not heard the name of Jesus Christ yet. Did you know that? Not only that, there are people in this nation who don't know Jesus Christ. We've heard about them. They don't know anything about the Bible, the church, Jesus. I would say right now, the most significant place of evangelism on the face of the earth is the USA. It is the greatest and most needy place that I know of. Why? Because it once had the truth and it's now walking away from it. It's being turned aside by evil forces. The presence of the number of Christians in this nation has shrunk to an all-time low. That's only temporary. It's only temporary. A great move of God is going to come if we will pray. God is partnering with his people. Without us, he will not. And without him, we cannot. Prayer is the most important thing we can do. Last week I told you there are five areas that we can begin to pray in tongues about. Yourself, your family, which includes all of your loved ones, your spouses, children, grandchildren, etc. The fellowship of life, the whole church in this nation, and the nation. We need to intercede for this nation. Does it have a destiny? Like all nations have a destiny. Or there would be no nations. They have purposes. God sent the boundaries of nations on purpose. There's a reason that this nation came into existence. Whatever wrong things have been done in the history of this nation does not matter when it comes to what is the purpose for us. We're the first nation on the face of the earth that has brought about a constitution that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. No other nation in the world ever did that. We have a government that, with checks and balances. There was never a government with checks and balances that had three different branches to keep check on each other. The justice system of this nation was influenced by Christians who knew the Word of God. And the desire to export Christianity to the world. Really, this nation has been a fountain of life to many nations. It's not perfect because there are no perfect people here. When I say that, I'm not disregarding the Christians. I'm saying that overall, this is a mixed nation. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can still influence them. Doesn't matter. It's our right to carry Christ to them. In the Welsh Revival of 1904, I remember this because there were things that were so significant that came from it. The first cry that came out of the revival was a cry to bend the church and save the world. Bend the church meant put the church back under the hand of the Holy Spirit. We need to bring the church back under the hand of the Holy Spirit. Can we pray that? God, forgive us. We are going in every imaginable direction. Bring us all under your mighty hand, that we will have one voice, one heart, one purpose, that we'll respect you as the head of the church, that you can work your work through us, your Holy Spirit power. Energize us to accomplish your will. We ask that, Jesus. Please forgive us and use us again. We pray that. We ask that to be true. And I want to say this. This is something that we need to think about. Oh, I want to get back to the Welsh revival. I have so many thoughts going through my head right now. Forgive me. Then there were four points that Evan Roberts brought up that were very significant about what the church needed to do to release the power of God. And the last thing that he said in the four points was, you must go public with your witness of Jesus. I know that the church is fearful to say his name right now. And they use all kinds of other things to dance around the reality that men and women need Jesus. They say things like, well, you know, you'd have a much better life if you would just trust God. Or you could get out of that financial situation if you just... No, people need to hear the truth. You need Jesus. You need Jesus because you're dead in sin. We don't tell people that because we're afraid to tell people that. But Marion Knorr, many, many years ago in New York City, a little bitty woman, came up to me, pointed her finger up underneath my nose and said, you need Jesus. And I looked at her with contempt in my arrogance, and she said, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And you know, the Holy Spirit was all over her. She didn't know me from a hole in the wall, but she looked at me and she said, that guy needs Jesus. She was not afraid to say that. We have a fear overall to declare Jesus Christ to people. Here's something I want to share with you. During the time between 30 AD and 70 AD, there was a great tribulation, the greatest tribulation that ever was on the face of the earth for the Jews. And for all the world, ever, there was never anything like it. It was called the Great Tribulation. During that time, and afterwards, did you know that the Caesars would say this? This was their phrase. There is no other name given to men on earth by which they may be saved. Caesar is Lord. That is the very same truth in the scripture about Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The conflict was extraordinary that the Caesars would use that term to exalt themselves as deity on the face of the earth. That was the kind of conflict that they had. And the Christians were being persecuted, not because they had a different religion, but because they denied that Caesar was God and claimed that Jesus was God. They were not afraid. Rise up, beloved. Use his wonderful name, Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus, what he did for me, how much it means to walk with him and to know him, how he saved me from my sin. You don't have to always tell them that they're sinners. You could tell them that you were a sinner and Jesus saved you. It's a whole lot easier. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you why it's important to know him. That way you don't punch him in the face, but you still use his name, right? Come on, church, we're not afraid. Are you afraid? I break the power of that fear over you to declare Jesus is Lord in your life and to testify of that. Jesus said this, oh, this is so painful. He said, if you will not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. That's how significant it is to confess Jesus. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. Do you know that when you mention his name, the angels come to attention, the Holy Spirit is all over you, and the odds of you winning are greater. The enemy will not succeed, because when you start to share about Jesus Christ, you control the environment. You control the dialogue. You control the situation. The narrative is now in your hands. Jesus Christ is Lord. I think I've said enough. God bless you. Go in the power of the Lord and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Spend more time in the Word of God. It will heal you. Realize the psychology of God's Word, how powerful and penetrating it is, how it can deliver you from destructions, keep you out of problems, and help you maintain your health and give you strength for every day. We give God our devotion this morning. We thank you, Lord, for I use the word bearing down on us a little bit. You have borne down on me. It is sometimes the hardest thing for a preacher, a teacher, an apostle to be honest with the people that I speak to, because there's always this throwback, this feedback, this concern that some will not like what they hear. And there's always this natural human risk. But I say to you, I love you more than to give up, to yield to what God tells me to tell you. And I fear God more than man. And I serve him with all my heart. And you can rest assured, I will not shirk from my duty to bring to you every truth that God gives me. Amen? Yeah. For his glory. Amen. Go in the strength of the Lord.